Welcome to the Lance Wellnow Show. You know, today's going to be a really interesting broadcast. We got some prophetic updates, but we also have some really powerful economic insights because I've got Philip Patrick, who is the primary educator I know about, who deals with analyzing what's happening economically. And now that we've just had this disastrous omnibus bill passed by Congress, you need to know exactly what's coming next. The interesting thing is I've been saying all along that there's something about silver and gold that we find in the Bible that has a unique role even in these last days. And not surprisingly, gold has actually gone up like 12% this year since I began talking about it. As the dollar is declining, gold is going up. And I'm telling you, this is really the smart time for you to be looking at a special report and making some decisions as to what you're going to do, protecting your own wealth. You can even utilize your own IRA in this particular situation. So go to lancewalnut.com/birch, get your special report. That's lancewalnut.com/birch. I am not a financial expert, but the financial experts we talk to have been spot on, and you're going to appreciate this data. Go there right now, and you'll have peace of mind. God bless you. This is going to be a special report. You know, I've been covering with great interest what's going on with our economy for obvious reasons, not the least of which is I'm reading articles like The Currency and the Collapse of the Roman Empire. We're heading into our 250th year at Mercedes in just 2 years of existence as an empire, and empires don't last past that. And part of the characteristic of those collapse empires is they have fiscal insolvency. I don't know what it is about big countries or big empires that self-destruct. They're very seldom destroyed by outside forces. They destroy themselves. And so we have someone with a historic perspective on this whole business of finance. Philip Patrick is one of my favorite spokesmen and educators. Born in London, earned a politics and international relations degree at the prestigious University of Reading in Berkshire, England. And he's always been right on target. Since I've been talking to him, I think we've seen in the last year, and he can confirm it, but we've seen a significant increase in the rise of gold. I'm glad that I've been telling people about that, and it's happening. And it's probably going to continue to happen. Let's bring Philip Patrick in. Philip, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're glad that you brought your jet-lagged body all the way from Great Britain back to the sunny shores of the United States in time for this interview. And so let me ask you the first question. I'm beside myself with this omnibus bill, this ghastly monstrosity that our Republicans all signed off on, and to their relief because the government wasn't shut down. The one thing we need to do is shut it down and talk about why we're in a troubled state we're in. But our congressmen seem to insist that they don't get reelected if the government gets shut down, so they'll just drive us into the abyss. What's your take on our federal budget and what's what they just passed, and what do you see the prognosis being?
I mean, it's not good. I'm not sure I can summarize it as well as you just did, Lance. I think you did a very good job. But as a lot of people know, so the Senate reached an agreement over a $1.2 trillion spending package, of course, just minutes before the midnight deadline. Bill was signed into law by Biden on Saturday, and essentially it keeps the lights on through to September for now. Now, combing through the two packages, discretionary spending for the budget will come to about $1.66 trillion. Now, what we have to be clear about, this is discretionary spending. So this doesn't include Social Security, Medicare, or debt service payments, which, by the way, will probably be the biggest line item in the federal budget this year. Discretionary spending accounts for only 27% of total government spending. Now, the budget largely tracks with an agreement that former Speaker McCarthy made before he was ousted back in May of 2023, and it suspended the debt ceiling into January of 2025. Regardless, Representative Eric Burlinson of Missouri called it a complete and utter surrender. And I think he's right. Look, we have to remember McCarthy was ousted to prevent this sort of situation from reoccurring. And sure enough, here we are again. Now, when we consider the numbers, I have to agree with Representative Burlinson. It's a complete disaster. Another $1.7 trillion deficit is absurd. We're digging ourselves into a hole faster and deeper. And I'm getting afraid now it might be too late to ever climb out of that hole. Just more of the same nonsense.
Well, Mercedes, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just over here thinking about, you know, is a balanced budget even feasible anymore? I mean, where we're at right now, where do you see us heading?
I mean, it's a great question. Look, we have to be clear again, balancing the budget simply means not going further into debt, right? That doesn't even begin to address how we're going to deal with this $34 trillion the nation already owns. Now, to balance the budget now, Congress would have to do one of two things, right? Number one, they cut discretionary spending to zero, right? That means no funding for any government agencies, no defense, no agriculture, no FBI, no homeland security. That would balance the budget. Alternatively, they could raise corporate and income taxes by 50%. That would also do the job. The problem is, none of these are actually possible, right? You don't get reelected by promising your constituents you're going to raise their taxes by 50% or take away handouts. So instead, we get this dog and pony show, lots of posturing, lots of hand waving, and ultimately another $1.7 trillion deficit. So in answer to the question, it's feasible in theory, but not in reality, right? And it's no wonder right now that the Fed is struggling to keep inflation under control with these massive budgets coming from the government.
And I think it could be argued that Biden and his administration is artificially playing with the economy, even to hold down the interest rates, because they're trying to make the argument that they've got this economic recovery going on. They're just flooding the zone with money, printed dollars that have nothing to back it. And, you know, then we've got the BRICS nations continuing to buy gold because, as our people know, there's 30 or 40 nations saying, get the heck away from the dollar. We don't want to be controlled by America's woke politics dictating what we do. We don't want another Russian situation where if the United States doesn't like foreign policy, they start to shut down an entire nation. And this, it's a terrible policy. And nobody even thinks, except in parts of Europe and the United States, that our woke ideology is worth exporting anyway, let alone punishing nations that don't agree with us on our weirdness. So let's take a look at inflation for a moment. Where it is right now is being artificially suppressed. Where in the world do you think this is going to end up going?
I mean, it doesn't look good. Official CPI came in at 3.2% annualized in February.
Well, all right, wait. Now we're talking financial terms. CPI means what to my typical rank and file audience out there?
CPI is what they look at. It's the consumer price index, and it's the Fed's broad measure of inflation. So consumer price index, it's what the Fed used to measure inflation. By the way, the numbers that they use are an absurdity. If they calculated inflation using the same metrics they did in the 80s today, that same number would be closer to 13%. So the numbers being put forward by the Fed have been a nonsense for quite a while. But the key is inflation's on the rise, and I'm going to use another term. So the Federal Reserve paid close attention to a subset of the data called core personal consumption expenditures, or core services PCE. This is a really important metric for them because it includes housing, food services, insurance, healthcare, transportation, and recreation. It's the single biggest category of consumer spending. It's two-thirds of overall spending. This came in at 5.1% year over year, and it's causing a big problem for the Fed because what it's showing them now is that inflation has become entrenched, right? Mm. Prices are not coming down anytime soon. Now, the Federal Reserve is in a tough position, right? They're cautious of raising interest rates because if they do, something will break, right? Look at what happened when they were doing it the beginning of last year, right? The banks failed, right? On top of that, what's clear, and you alluded to it before, the Fed are looking fairly political, right? At the end of last year, they were suggesting they would lower rates, even though inflation at the time was 50% above their target. I think trying to juice the markets for an election year. However, since that point, rising CPI, the Fed have backed off now. So they're keeping things static. But the reality is, they don't really have a plan. I think the Fed at the moment are going to leave interest rates where they are and hope that eventually prices will subside. It's not a great plan, but it's the best that they've got at the moment, especially considering these $1.7 trillion deficits, one after another. They're highly inflationary. So it's almost like we've got the federal government and the Federal Reserve arm wrestling over the dollar's value. The Fed's trying to keep it higher with elevated interest rates, and the White House is trying to push it down with massive deficits. I think the only thing I can think of is the White House are hoping to inflate the government debt away, right? It's the only chance they've got to pay it down. Inflation is eroding the value of that $34 trillion debt. The only problem is it's doing the same thing to our savings. So it's a bit of a disaster for the American people.
It reminds me of that great quote from Obama, that wonderful economist who said that, well, we're in a hole and the only way to get out of it is to keep digging. But technically, you don't keep digging to get out of a hole. And that's what they're doing. They're digging. All right, Mercedes.
Well, I was just going to say that, but even as the dollar falls, I do think that there's opportunity for some people who are paying attention to things like the price of gold. So I think that just hit a record of, what is it, 2,200? I mean, is how much of the rise in the price of gold, is that tied to inflation and the decline of the dollar?
Look, I think so. And I'll say something just to be clear. So gold hit a record in terms of number, right? 2,200 has never been that way, been there before. But in terms of value, the real high for gold was back in January of 1980. If we adjusted that high to inflation, it would be the equivalent of 3,300 today. Wow. So I think, you know, gold would essentially have to rise 50% from where it is to now. Now to hit real, you know, highs in terms of value. So I think we've got a lot of scope for movement. But in answer to your question, adjusted for inflation, gold's price is about the same as it was back in January 2021. The dollar's down 17% since then, and gold is up the exact same amount in the exact same time period. So it's not a coincidence. Dollar devaluation is absolutely driving gold's price, but there are other factors to consider as well, demand being one, right? Central bank gold buying has shattered records over the last 2 years. 2022, single biggest year for gold buying in central bank history. Central banks bought marginally less in 2023. However, 23 was the single biggest year for gold purchasing, full stop, if we factor in individual investors. But the reality is central banks are facing the same challenges that we are, right? Economic uncertainty, inflation, and a loss of purchasing power. And they're diversifying their assets with a time-tested safe haven store of value. The sheer number of issues we're facing at the moment, I think, means that there's no single factor driving gold's price. I think resolving one or two of them still leaves the rest. And it leads me to believe that, you know, we've got more record gold prices in front of us, and most analysts are predicting an aggressive year in growth for gold. So timing is very, very good for those out there sitting on the sidelines.
So if you are sitting on the sidelines and you haven't taken action yet, you should think about this, because I guess gold has gone up anywhere from, I don't know, 8, 10, 12% over the last year. And so it just goes to the hypothesis that gold is where you store the value. If the paper dollar continues in its decline, then gold is going to continue to go up. This is the conclusion of all those BRICS nations that are decoupling from the dollar. They're going into gold. This looks like the global reset commodity. It's going to be like what's happening with these precious metals, gold particularly. So I guess right now is the right time. And if you think inflation is going to go up, if you think the dollar is going to continue to go down, if you think the government's going to continue to be irresponsible, you have to take action. And you're suggesting still that gold is the right remedy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look, you know, you can take everything I say with a pinch of salt. If central banks over the last 2 years have bought more gold than any other years in history, it means more than anything I have to say. And I want to say something. The point you made earlier about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire failed because of debasement, right? They were using silver as currency. They added 10%, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. The entire economy collapsed, it ground to a halt, and the Roman Empire fell. It is how every empire in history has failed, and we're going down the same path today. Gold is how you protect. Central banks know it. You always follow the smart money. And when it comes to currency, there's no smarter money than central banks.
Philip Patrick, thank you so much. You're the Birch Gold Group's primary spokesman. And we're recommending constantly to people that you go to lanceswanlow.com/Birch. That's where you can go to get an analysis. You can read the 20-page report. And you can talk to an experienced consultant who will walk you through what you can do to probably, shore up your defenses smarter than any other strategy I know. I'm not the financial guru, but I've been right on this one. And I'm going to say that Birch Gold is a smart place to go. That's lanceswanlow.com/Birch. Thank you so much, Philip Patrick. Welcome back to the States.
Thank you for having me, guys.
God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.
Bless.
I want to take a moment to talk about the volatile financial time that we're in. And I want you to empower yourself with knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Visit lanceswanlow.com/Birch and get a free information kit. Consider discussing how to shift your 401k or your retirement account into a tax-sheltered gold and silver account. Why don't you go to lanceswanlow.com/Birch right now and take action for a secure future. Well, welcome back to the Lance Wallnow Show. That was a really always profound segment with Philip Patrick talking about gold and silver. And I constantly come back to the Bible verse that refers to the shaking of systems, the distress of nations, and then the promise of Haggai, which is that the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the latter glory of this house, which is referring to the house that that God is building in the earth. His people, his church, that it will be greater in the latter end than the former. And I think it's referring to something right now. But, you know, we also were covering the signs. This is a sobering time in a way because we're looking at economic signs. We talked about that sign that I think is in the Francis Scott Key's national anthem, collapsing of the bridge and the warning of God regarding the times that are coming. But you should not be surprised when these things happen. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that Paul wrote considering the day that we're in, the day of the Lord. He says, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to come unexpectedly." But notice the times and seasons. Interesting verse here, and I don't do this enough as a theologian type of person. But the Genesis says that God put the stars, the sun, and the moon in the heavens for the purpose of signs, which means messages, and seasons, which means timing. There's some 88 constellations that exist that we've counted from Earth that are out there. And what's amazing is all the constellations are configured in such a way that they express unique connections with stories so that the gospel. I remember D. James Kennedy, Presbyterian preacher when I was a young believer, and he had a book called The Gospel in the Stars. And I thought, oh, I hope he's not off into like astrology or something. But what Kennedy taught was that even from the very beginning of mankind, you could look at the heavens and they tell the story of Virgo, a virgin, giving birth to a man. The man child would come from the virgin, and then Leo, the lion. And then each of the constellations of those 12, specific zodiac configurations tells the story in the heavens about redemption on the earth. And so from the very beginning of man, you could say from Genesis, you could see the story was written out of those constellations to instruct man. And now, you pointed out that the second verse that comes after that, where Paul says, but you know the times and seasons, then it says, you got the verse there?
Yeah,
you can
says,
read verse 3.
In 3, it says, "For when they say peace and safety, Then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. I'll read 4:2 because it's hopeful. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So what was so crazy, though, is I found this clip online, Lance, and I was showing it to you earlier. And it's like one of those clips where they cut sound bites back to back. And you got to hear this. So I don't know if the team wants to play it really quick.
It is a reminder of the solemn responsibility we carry to uphold peace and security across the world.
Maintaining international peace and security.
And peace and security.
No, peace and security.
In peace and security.
Peace and security.
In peace and security.
Peace and security.
The United States stands ready to work with all member states that are genuinely committed to advancing peace and security.
All right, stop right there. It always blows my mind when I hear these manipulated sound bites. Just, it suggests to me that there is a guiding narrative that is looming over the nation. So when we talk about the Great Reset, understand that we had Kevin Freeman on talking about gold and his efforts at trying to get certain states in the United States to decouple from the dumpster fire that is what's happening to the paper dollar in America, as our own government is sabotaging our stability as a country with $1 trillion worth of new debt every 150 days. I mean, it's maddening. But the idea that he said is that they had something in Louisiana that they were working on, but that the central banks in Louisiana, with Soros' influence, they torpedoed the ability of them to be able to have that gold strategy that they could be working with so that the dollar could be more coupled into a monetary value with gold. And I really believe they want the collapse of the global economy. And the language of peace and security, you see it here in the Bible. It's so brilliant. Chuck Missler, who's a great teacher with a background in aerospace, was taught, and Kim Clement, my prophet friend, was a student of Chuck Missler. And he kept encouraging me to listen to Chuck, and I wish I had paid more attention to Kim when he talked to me early on, because what Chuck Missler says is, this is a book written by an extraterrestrial. So for those people that are into aliens, and he sets it up as saying this is an extraterrestrial, and actually it's a celestial intelligence, because it predicts things. If a book can only try to give you meaning for what's happened in the past, it's not truly inspired. It's inspired if it predicts things accurately over the course of hundreds of years, and they all happen. That's an extra celestial intelligence talking to you. And so when we read where Paul says that they're going to say peace and safety, and then sudden pains come upon them as a woman in travail, what it means is the world will make the trade-off for peace, meaning the elimination of some kind of nuclear standoff or some threat to our physical survival, and the idea of security. Human nature is such that it will give away its freedom in order to have a promise of peace and security, only to have surrendered their power to someone else who will take advantage of that. By the way, do you guys have that graphic? I've got so much paper here. The price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. Well, there you go. The price that good men pay for indifference to public affairs. That was Plato. And so you can imagine if that was written in antiquity, it's true today as well. And so we have evil people that are designing, when you have 8 million people coming to your country, when you have $1 trillion worth of debt added, when you have nut jobs that are insisting that that's not enough, Well, you're preparing for the collapse of an economy. But you should not be caught unawares when that happens. You should be able to say, well, listen, there are people that have been, God has given you the ability to have a tribe that you associate with. You listen to the Glenn Becks, you listen to the Bannons, you listen to people like us. And it's all preparing you. And hopefully, it's also preparing you for the fact that God has a plan in the midst of all this. And his plan is to provide for his people. That's why I go back to these ancient prophecies from Haggai, who prophesied in two little chapters. He said, hey, there's going to come shaking to systems and shaking to nations. But what you have to look at that most people miss is that God said he's behind the shaking. He's behind the shaking, and only a believer can see the silver lining. And the silver lining is that the shaking is happening so that God can put on exhibition what cannot be shaken. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, the writer in the first century church quotes Haggai, and he says this, in the last days, God promises he's going to shake every system so that the only thing that is going to be left manifestly unshakable is his word and his people and his kingdom. So the challenge for us is to put ourselves in a place where we're walking so closely with God that we're walking in an unshakable place. And then, I believe that there is economic answers to these problems. That's why when that crisscross takes place of the eclipse, if you watch what we say, it lands in New Egypt. That's where the overlap is. And I believe that in that overlap in Egypt, Joseph was able to present a solution to the problem. And I think America's hitting a new period where we might go back to constitutional foundations and get away from the running of a central oligarch by these irresponsible rulers and go back to what the founders gave us, which actually was designed to preserve us.
I was just going to say, too, like, in light of all the circumstances that we're enduring and probably venturing through, the Bible is really clear about a lot of the things that will happen before the Lord's return. And I just think that the other warning for us, Lance, is in Matthew 24:12. And, you know, Jesus is speaking there and he says, you're going to be delivered up. You know, you're going to be betrayed. And it says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world and witness of all the nations. And then the end will come. That I think the other concern for Christians living in this day is that with the rise of lawlessness, with all the things that are happening around us, that the love of many will grow cold. And I think that that is also something that the Christian fights against, that we're still called to love in the midst of all of it, love one another and to evangelize and to minister. But I just think that that's another thing that kind of stands out to me, that through the midst of all this whole narrative here, this whole theme, that we have to guard our hearts and continue to love our neighbor.
Well, and realize that love never fails. That's the other part that the Bible says. And the love of many may grow cold, but that's only because the awareness of God grows cold. But if the awareness of God is strong, this is the verse that Jesus opens up that teaching with. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not troubled, for these things must happen. It's almost as though he's saying certain things have to take place in order for my plan to come to consummation. Your job is to be walking right when those things are happening. You can't control all those things, but you have authority over your own sphere, your own life. And that's why I'm particularly interested in that message that we have about the signet ring and things like that, that you do have authority within the sphere of your assignment to bring the unshakable kingdom into manifestation. And I think this is going to cause a maturity to the body of Christ as we come into that place. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. And let me just say this, that if I mentioned the signet ring, because this week it's on my mind a lot. I've been teaching on during Esther, the Feast of Purim, during the period of time when the Jews were in great threat of a hostile government, God intervened and he gave to them a signet ring revelation. Mordecai took the ring of authority from Haman, who was persecuting them, and he administrated for the people of God. The signet ring is a powerful teaching. For your gift of any amount, you can get a hold of it. Go to lancewalnut.com/signet. or call 1-800-910-6349. I'm hearing from people all the time that are getting this message and they're loving it, as they should, because it tells you how to imprint God's plan into your life so that it's permanently manifest and you do not get shaken. Look forward to seeing you again on our next broadcast.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.